advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world-famous Sofa King Podcast.
Please, read from sheets. I am Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Me and David dying.
Why is that harsher on the second time going down? I baby birded the whiskey.
Oh, man.
You guys ever baby bird whiskey? I do.
Yeah.
You guys missed some hijinks at the top.
I guess we're going to have to start doing video for shit like that. That was classic. Yeah.
So go ahead, tell what happened.
Brent, while the Brent does his obsessive drink on the
It was Brent was clinking the glass in the whiskey bottle, and I was and drinking as I was dinging the bell.
Because well, sounds cool in the intro.
Now I started every once in a while. Everybody knows I'll kind of fuck up the bell. Like I did it before on the last episode. And now Dave started ringing his
with my foot,
with his foot. So I was trying to think of something creative to try and fuck Brent up again. And so naturally, as soon as he dumped the glass of whiskey in his mouth, I stopped the podcast to start over. And he starts laughing and he doesn't swallow the whiskey and he's laughing and he spits it back into the cup. And so me and Dave are dying.
Just a full mouthful of whiskey.
So, yeah. So he thinks I'm going to start over. So I just start it back from where it was. So he doesn't get the chance to do the ritual over again. So good stuff. Good times.
Didn't bother me at all, man. I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Baby bird whiskey is the best.
That's right.
It was my spit. Can't
Baby
get dirty.
Baby bird whiskey.
I'm good
was
with it.
The, was it Pulled the Maker's
once,
Mark?
Man. Yeah.
So we got this Maker's Mark from PBR Man.
PBR Man. Yeah.
So we're going to.
That's pretty good. We
mentioned it in the last episode. Yeah.
With,
I'm actually. Are we all. What are they called when you register for the Maker's Mark thing and you get little baby bottle
oh,
sweaters?
Oh, Maker's
and stuff?
Mark ambassador.
Yeah, I did that. Yeah,
I am not, but I receive it because my old business partner. Is
oh, right.
Adam Pedro's like
this. That smells strong. Like
oh, it is strong.
You should try to drink it, spit it back in your glass, and drink it again. It's even stronger. I don't know why that was so much. It was like it really got me when I did that.
Yeah, it's. It's spicy.
It is spicy.
You guys say that same shit every time.
It is, though. It's like, it's a spicy whiskey. It's not sweet. It's like
a whiskey connoisseur somewhere is like, those fucking amateurs.
You know what?
Maybe a whiskey connoisseur.
I'm not a whiskey connoisseur. I just drink the shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe a whiskey connoisseur is saying,
it is spicy.
Maker's
Mark. It's the one.
Well played, sir. Well played.
10% of the time. 10% of the time, you guys are right.
Yeah.
Yep. No, spicy. Technically, whiskey spicy.
Tell me it's not spicy.
Yeah.
It's spicy.
It's spicy.
It tastes like non-sugar.
We just drink cinnamon. A bunch of lemonades, and we're like, "Ooh, this one's sour."
Mm.
It's well, and we've narrowed it all down. It's like all of the bourbons are spicy,
right?
Like the Johnny Walkers and the you
Johnny
know what
Walker's
I mean?
Scotch.
Is it scotch?
Yep.
It's spicy too. Scotch is spicy.
It's alcohol.
I think we've narrowed it down.
It's hot.
Wait,
it's
what's the other one? Canadian whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
That one's kind of spicy. So, I think we narrowed down the flavor of whiskey.
It depends on the whiskey.
Some are sweet.
Some are sweet.
I have a friend that like swishes it around. He's like, ooh, apple, nutmeg, like cinnamon, like undertones. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, get out of here.
Taste my fist.
Pour another glass. Shut up. Yeah. Just drink it, man.
Yeah. Shut up.
So, that was like venomous. Shut up.
Yeah. I was angry about it too.
Got some shout outs.
Yeah. So, I didn't have anything to say about Yucateca that I hadn't said before. So this week, though, people have gone Yucateca crazy. Like there was a...
There's been a lot of posts.
More than usual.
Yeah.
We always get some shit.
I get a million.
It's like, it'll be like midnight and I get a fucking Facebook message like ding, ding, ding. Brent's having a conversation with somebody about how, fuck, I ran out of El Yucateco. What am I going to do? And Brent's like, go to Walmart. They're open 24 hours, asshole. Yeah. Like, leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep.
You know what's funny, though? I don't mind it at all. It's I like... having the conversations. I met tons of people.
I don't care
now.
About you. Yeah. I mind it. It's going well, off on my phone.
Don't add me in the page. All right. If you have something to say about Yucateco, just message me and leave Brad and Dave alone, especially Dave. So, who knows?
Yeah, Dave's got to sleep.
Dave goes to bed at like 7:45.
Yeah, Simpson characters go to sleep early.
Brad and I have to switch out of group text, which I fucking hate anyway because Dave's in bed. But Jason M33 made a Bloody Mary, which... I don't like Bloody Marys. I want to like Bloody Marys.
Tomato sauce.
But maybe I would with Yucateco. Like, maybe that would be the thing that brings me to like Bloody Marys.
Aren't Bloody Marys like V8 with alcohol in them?
Pretty
like,
much, I just don't, man.
Yeah, like it,
that's
fucking,
what I don't like tomato it's like, juice.
It's like if you make spaghetti and then you don't have any stuff for Bloody Marys, you could just drain out the meat, like get the meat out, and then put stick a celery in it and put some whiskey. Like, that's a Bloody Mary. Like, it sounds horrible.
Like, at a couple of bars in Vegas, I've had Bloody Marys that were just absolutely fucking delicious.
I like
anytime I've like,
I think this is the only thing that me and Brent agree on that we don't like. Like,
that
usually
black
stuff
people.
That I hate. Yeah.
Black people.
Yeah,
for the most part, I don't like Bloody Marys. But
that's getting us in trouble.
Yeah.
For the most part, I don't like Bloody Marys, but every so often I'll have one that's made to perfection and it's
actually
delicious.
I like black people. I hate Asians. Just when
and Mexicans.
No, for real. This person was driving in front of me the other day and I was like, what in the hell, dude, is wrong with this person? And they're driving crazy, dude. And I pulled up and I was like, oh, silly stereotypes. It was a little old Asian man. So on top of being an old man, it was an old Asian man, but he should not have been on the road. It was not
the,
okay.
The stereotypes are so true though. It's like black people just mash on the gas pedal. Like, they're just speeding everywhere. And then wonder why they get pulled over and harassed by the cops.
I didn't
cops.
Know that was a stereotype of
black people drive fast.
Fast driving black people. How come there's no black people in NASCAR?
They're all in jail. I don't know. and then these Mexicans drive slow. Like, oh man, I get angry.
That's because they don't want to get pulled over.
Yeah.
They're going to get pulled over because they might not be legal.
Yeah. So
sometimes racism is funny. Right now, it's probably on the line.
No,
it's
usually funny unless you're burning a cross in somebody's front yard.
So there's another guy on Instagram that was like doing like play by play. He posted some Yucateco. I chimed in, and then he's like, oh, Brent said something, and then he started doing action shots. Like, so JMick_Shaw. Then he was like, oh, each bite of my sandwich is now getting Yucateco, and I'm going to post it on Instagram. Which, if I didn't hold myself back, I would totally do that.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm only holding myself
and
back.
And Brent likes that. Yeah. And I'm like, fucking stop, please.
And some dude sent me his receipt for Yucateco. He bought two cases.
Yeah, holy shit.
Yeah, he's like, just stocking back up 24 bottles. I was like,
did you tell him?
Damn.
Did you tell him? Like, that's nothing. We have a lot of cases.
But I didn't buy it, though. I was like, damn, you need some triple X. No, I have triple X. I'm just restocking the jalapeno chipotle. That's all. I was like, God damn. He probably has. Like, I think he has what we have.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Like, at a shelf in his house. Yeah.
And one guy on Instagram posted some crazy breakfast sandwich.
That was my brother.
I did. That was his brother.
I didn't know that was.
What
I
an asshole.
Dude, right? That patty was sausage.
Yeah.
That's not a hamburger.
That shit, I don't like breakfast sandwiches like that. Like, I thought it was a hamburger, but now you say sausage. Shawshank Redemption. I really like it.
Yeah, it was two slices of French toast with a fried egg and a sausage patty.
Looked good.
And with syrup on it. Yeah. And then he put El Yucateco on it.
And he's that American douchebag.
I had no idea that he was American dirtbag 80.
Yeah.
Like, you guys were like all aghast a minute ago. I can't believe you didn't know my brother was American dirtbag 84.
If you would have clicked on the name, you'd have saw his
why would I do
face.
That?
He's handsome. He's handsome as shit and famous in his own right.
American dirtbag is way better than
oh man. There you go.
Okay.
Adam Van Tassel.
Yep.
No, I love you, Adam. Sorry, I'm just playing.
That was awesome.
So longtime fan, first time caller, Colton Kaiser. He had a cold. He made some chicken enchiladas with green sauce and cleared them sinuses right up.
He's not a first time caller.
Has he called before?
Oh yeah, hell yeah. That's the DJ.
I know.
DJ
I know
Colton
that.
Kaiser.
Long time fan.
Yeah.
First time motherfucking caller.
No, he's commented lots.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
He hasn't called.
We've had conversations.
He called me.
Yeah. Oh, he actually called?
No.
Speaking of, somebody called us. to buy a t-shirt. Someone wanted to buy a t-shirt, and obviously the fucking website's not up yet. If you want to buy a t-shirt, I'll sell you a t-shirt. You can call. So
the website's never going up, I'm convinced.
I gave them all the cover art. I think it's coming up. But anyways, just hit me up on Messenger. I can sell you a t-shirt. We have our new t-shirts, but we have to do it over the phone. But this guy got like fanboy excited. I've never in my life had that happen.
Because he talked to you
Two
personally?
Things happened, yeah, last week. Me and Brad signed our first autographs.
That
PBR yes. Man wanted autographs. We signed autographs.
Dave missed
oh,
it.
That's crazy. Yeah.
And then
No, his brother wanted autographs.
That's right. But someone called to order a t-shirt and then got like, hold on. I'm getting fangirl right now. You got to give me just a second. I can't believe I'm talking to you. And I was like, dude,
we're just people.
Come if on. You would have just asked about like, how much does a virus removal cost? It would have been no big deal. Right. And I was like, I'm just a normal dude. That's just weird. Stop. And so,
I'm just not sure why you called him. Why you said I'm getting fangirl about it. I mean,
because it's the excitement, like the usually like Justin Bieber, boy. Justin Bieber fangirl.
I think he was just like embarrassed that he's a man and he got fan.
He wanted to fuck you for a brief moment.
Just for a second. Mm. Yeah. So
did you do your Matthew McConaughey?
I did. That's what happened. I was like,
would you like
hey, man, you won't buy a t-shirt. I'll say a t-shirt right off me. I was about to take it off anyway.
I still got my must.
Yeah. Then I sexted him. I sent him a sexy picture without my t-shirt. And he's like, that's dad bod, fool. Put that shit back on. I don't want it.
That's in right now. Yeah. It's in.
I'm fucking
got a
ready.
Boner. Yeah. Got a boner on
I'm like
it.
Between dad bod. Yeah. I'm like, I'm almost.
Is it
like,
a problem when you get a boner and it's on, and you hold your belly up? That's why I'm.
Hold your belly up.
Like it's like you send them, you know, people send the towel picture, you know, yeah. Like the towel hanging on the dick. It's just like the holding my belly up. That shit's way heavier than a towel. That's I have right. You know,
it's like hey, a it's trellis.
Because if you reach the age that you have that big of a belly, but your boner can still hold it up, you're doing.
Yeah, you're fucking rocking it. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Let's just making sure.
Yeah,
just making sure.
So our topic today, I have no transition. From bellies getting pushed up by dicks to the Yakuza.
Swords holding the baby.
Oh, nice. Belly up. Okay. Yeah. I can't make that connection. So today we're talking about the Yakuza. We talked about the mafia a while back with the mafia fucking master, Rob Van Dam. If you didn't listen to that episode, go back and have your mind completely blown.
If you like the mob. If you don't like the mob, you might not want to listen
and,
to that episode.
And if you don't like listening to us talk and you want to hear somebody else talk, then listen to that episode.
Right, because Rob... knocks it out of the fucking park. So if you're a wrestling fan or a mafia fan, go back and listen to the mafia.
He definitely is a fucking mob fanatic.
And like, he wants to do the show again, and he wants to have like
he wants to have a mob off.
He wants to have like other mob experts who he can like have a contest with to see who knows more about the mob. And he texts me.
It's just not our show. That's the problem.
Well, no, I don't give a fuck about it being our show. He just keeps texting me, and he's like, "Hey, are we any closer on that mob off?" I'm like, "Rob, I don't know anyone on earth who knows as much about the mob." As you
dude,
do,
yeah, it's like a downhill. Like
about the mob, actually, I was like, dude, if you like the mob, you should listen to that episode with what's his name.
So, but if you or someone you love are some like mob aficionado, and
like if you could play Jeopardy about
the fucking mob, and you think you got what it takes to knock down Rob Van Dam in a mob competition, then fucking get in touch with us, and we'll make that shit happen.
And to be honest, like we were at his house before and after the show and the mob, we talked about it. And like, so like the show is like 10% of like the scope. Like it was fucking,
unbelievable.
It really was insane. Like it was like watching a documentary.
Yeah. So we don't have that level of expertise on the Yakuza, but we're going to do our best to break down some of the shit. So what'd you guys think looking into the Yakuza?
They do karate.
Was it what you expected? Was it not what you expected? What'd you guys think?
It's a fucking gang, man.
It was more mild than I expected, honestly. Mm-hmm. You picture, I think Kill Bill. That's what I thought. Like just fucking crazy ass.
It kind of is.
There's some of it is. Yeah.
There's the thing is with the Yakuza, there's different clans or families, if you will. And like but all of them to die viciously or, you know what I mean? Like just crazy deaths and just dying in general was like an honor.
I was mostly impressed with the code of conduct and the like organization, like their level.
You have to think they're Japanese. Like they think about Japanese
meticulous,
culture.
Yeah. Like, you know, organization hierarchy.
Oh yeah.
That was the impressive part for me, to be honest.
And it still held up. I mean, one of the things when we talked about the mob, like the code that ran the mafia for all those years kind of started to unravel when the RICO laws hit and the bosses started to get busted on and so forth. But that code is still largely in place for the Yakuza. So that hierarchy is still there and that honor bound notion is still there, which it isn't still there in the mafia. And some of the estimates that I read are that there's somewhere between 50 and 80,000 members of the Yakuza.
Right, I read there was over 100,000. Right.
It's well,
I read
it weird. Their peak. In the same article, there's like, oh, this represents 50% at 50,000.
Well, you have to think they're an illegitimate gang.
Right.
Yeah.
And legitimate, actually, in some forms.
Oh, in a lot of forms.
But they are, I mean, there's probably a big portion of them that don't want to be known.
Sure. And so, I read at their peak was in 1963 when they estimated there were 184,000 members.
Yeah, after World War II and everything.
Crazy.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is some of it's not hidden, though. Like, they're so bold about it that they literally have offices that have, like, their symbol on the front of the building.
Yeah.
Well, and, they like, did.
Well, they're corporate. Yeah, they have corporate entities.
Yeah. And they did disaster relief after big, big things happened. They did disaster relief.
After Fukushima.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like a double-edged sword. No pun intended.
Right.
There's a corporate side. They really don't like corporations. They're part of the right wing. What, I don't get this. Like, it's the right wing liberal.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get the politics of it.
But yeah, it's like really weird.
They're right wing, but not.
But they're
racist.
Very right wing liberal.
And they use single edged swords, for the record. It's a katana.
Some of them, though, they could use a double edged sword.
They could.
Like, if you had the Excalibur, you would use it.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
I would.
So like, you'll have this illegal crime family, and then it's legal in Japan for them to become a corporate entity. So
which
it's
is
like
crazy.
They'll launder their own money through their own corporation. And then I was reading, like, to the fact that they'll, which is kind of, this is kind of fucking brilliant, but they'll find incriminating evidence about a company. And then they'll blackmail the board of directors, and then they'll either buy a ton of stock and then force the members to do shit that's going to make it. They'll basically either they'll
insider force stock trading,
insider is stock really, trading that they force, like they find shit to blackmail and threaten people. So it's like, make these bad calls and have your stock crash, and then they'll buy it all at a low and sell it later. Or they force them to do things that'll make the stock go up, and then they sell
their
stock
later. I even
read
that they just buy the minimal amount of stock that allows them to attend the stockholder meeting, so that the Yakuza is present at the meeting,
right?
Just for intimidation,
because like, they'll go to the board there. Meeting and threaten people.
Yeah, and just sit there and like look at the guy, like shake his head, like, nah, you're not gonna build that. No, you're not gonna build that.
Mushy mushy.
Yeah.
He's like, oh.
And they even like they prey on like the politeness of Japanese society. And they'll I read that they'll like attend golf tournaments and like make people nervous, and they'll like give to fake charity. They'll force corporations to give money to their fake charities because they'll look like the corporation knows this charity is fake.
They just have a megaphone,
but the world doesn't.
They're just like,
so it's
threatening
like
with a noisemaker on the side. They're like, exactly. And they're like, oh, no.
But they have like whole buildings.
This is racist, right?
Yes, it is racist.
Okay, yeah. Just
they have
sure.
whole buildings with like their logos on it and shit, and they're. I mean, it's pretty fucking hardcore, but and I didn't know, I had no idea what it meant, but Yakuza means 893, which is the worst hand in a game called Ochikabu, which is similar to Baccarat, and it's a zero hand. It's the worst possible hand you can.
It's the losing hand.
Yeah. And that's what,
or it's like a misshapen circle. That's what that means.
Oh, is that what it means?
Yeah.
All right. I was trying to figure out how it means a misshapen circle.
Yeah. 8, 9, and 3. If you had an 8, 9, and then 3, it'd be like an oblong circle.
I'm not trusting you.
Talking about?
It's geometry. You guys just over your heads.
I don't think it is. I think it's bradometry.
I mean, it looks like just think of an 8, 9, and an 8, 9, and a 3 is the shape of a Mr. Potato Head. Just that's all you need to know.
Where's my bell? Where's my bell at, man? Okay.
So I read different ways that they started. Some things were, they say that they dated back to the 17th century with Ronins, with masterless samurai who no longer like worked for the emperor. They no longer served a master, but they were still trained in the art of war and et cetera. And So they started to form family clans, which again was very similar to the basis of the mafia. So they started like these badasses would form clans to protect regions and to protect cities against bandits. And then these clans ended up becoming the protectors of the city. And then inevitably those clans started getting protection money and that leads to different criminal activity. So that's one of the theories.
These guys are like the Japanese Rothschilds.
Where they started with. Yeah, they kind of are. And then the other theory is that there was a group called the Kabuki Mono, which were called the Crazy Ones. And they were like wildly dressed vandals who would carry really long swords and they would like intimidate villages and execute people. And they were just complete fucking lunatics. And some people think that this was the basis of where the Yakuza came from. But a lot of people think it was probably a mixture of all of the above. Like it was various regions throughout the country and different families started to control them, either because they were samurais or they were just fucking loco criminals or whatever. But then at some point, usually around World War II, they consolidated in all the chaos of World War II, and then these families really started to take over the country and do all this crazy shit. But the background goes back quite a whiles.
Plural.
Multiple whiles.
Yeah. Several whiles. Bunch of whiles.
How long is a while? That's the thing. We need that number, and then we'll know how many whiles it takes to make several whiles. True. Yeah.
How many licks does it take?
We're really into unit of measurements. Like,
I mean, 8, 9, and 3 is a Mr. Potato Head.
So in the 19th century, they started to get alliances with politicians, and then the politicians would they had this, you know, symbiotic relationship. So they would back a politician to get the politician elected, and then the politician would use them to assassinate rivals. So they would end up having these political connections to different, you know, entities all over the place.
Sounds like lobbying the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, basically. So, but they. Again, it's like any other gang anywhere. I mean, the history is very – like I said, I kept seeing the similarities to the mafia. And again, all of that stuff starts to congeal right around World War II. Did you guys read much about what they did in World War II or like the person who kind of formalized it?
Mm-hmm. Did you say read much?
Or watch any videos of?
Oh, I didn't. No, I didn't.
A lot of tattoos.
I was more after World War II, but no, I didn't. I didn't get into too much of World War II
because there was a guy, and I'm assuming like if you were in Japan, you'd probably know this name like you would Al Capone if you were in the States. But there was a guy named Yoshio Kodama, and he was born in 1911. He died in 1984, and he made a fortune during World War II selling black market Chinese goods illegally in Japan. So you weren't able to get certain things in Japan during the war, and he had this total smuggling operation.
He has a certain set of skills.
Shit in. He has a certain set of skills.
Counterfeit stuff, though, usually, right? Like, I read a lot of fake stuff or shoddy, like...
A lot of it was shitty, but a lot of it was also just stuff that was black market. Like you just couldn't get, I don't know, nylons or chocolate because the entire country's under a war ration.
A big one is guns.
Yeah.
Dude, that gun thing was crazy. They said in 1990 you could buy a 38 like revolver.
$200 here, $400 here.
Yeah, two to $400 here, $4,000 there.
Fuck.
On the black market.
And they would buy them and then resell them over there.
Yeah, they would get them from here and then
through Hawaii or something.
Yeah,
crazy.
Through California, Hawaii, New York, and then transport them back over.
That was gnarly.
So this guy, Yoshio Kodama, made an estimated $175 million during World War II.
That's a bunch of money then.
That's a bunch of fucking money. Back then it was considered, it's estimated to be about $3 billion back then. And they said that he was the richest person in all of Asia and he was richer than the emperor because of his fucking black market shit. And he got imprisoned as a war criminal because of the stuff he was doing during the war. And that made him even more powerful because he started to make connections with all the other criminals while he was in jail.
Right.
And then once he ended up getting out, he was like the fucking mega boss of everything. And his family was called Kantokai. That was his Yakuza family. And he was kind of the grandfather of the modern day Yakuza. There's a family called the Yamaguchi Gumi, which are the number one Yakuza family in the world.
Well, they make up 50% of the Yakuza right now.
Yeah. And the other huge family was a family called the Tosikai family. And he negotiated a truce between the two of them. So all of every deal that both of them did after the truce, he got a kickback for. because he ended their war and brought this truce. So even after he was already rich from the World War II shit, everything that the two largest families in Japan did, he got a fucking taste of, and it made him even bigger.
Power is a crazy thing because he got $3 billion. Like, why do you not just buy an island and just go away? You know what I mean?
That's not what it's about.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, people still, it's never enough.
And you probably can't just get out.
No, you can't. That's probably true.
Like, you got to think, this is a gang.
You know what I mean? Because you're still a power symbol. Someone's still going to go knock you off somewhere. Right. Yeah.
So, and a couple of the things that this guy did was...
Tupac can't protect you on the island.
No, you can't. He wasn't even on the island yet.
Oh, no, he wasn't. Yeah. You're true.
In 1947, he allied clan of Yakuza called the Meraki Gumi. He would do things. He had a very strong political bent, and this is where this weird right-wing nationalist thing in the Yakuza starts. And he starts to have, other Yakuza families bust up labor unions, kill people, certain mines were starting to try to unionize, and he would send Yakuza families in to rough everybody up and make them not unionize because that was against his political beliefs. And he had this huge impact on Japanese culture and politics and all this stuff. And it got really crazy. This is where I knew it was a story worthy of sharing on this show, because he, in 1976, and again, super powerful, connected to every politician, super fucking rich. In 1976, Lockheed, the weapons and airplane manufacturer, hired him personally. They hired him to get Japan to adopt its L-1011 airplane, which was just a passenger plane. Nothing. It wasn't a war plane. It was just they wanted Japan to take this plane.
That's some
on
shady
it.
So business.
It
practices.
Was some shady business practices. So Kodama bribes the prime minister of Japan with $3 million out of his own money to get him to sign contracts with Lockheed to make it legal to sell these airplanes. And the story breaks. So it comes out that he did this. And this is where it gets interesting. A guy named Mitsuyasu Maino, who was a Japanese porn actor in pornos filmed in Rome. Weird. Okay. Get your head around
probably
that.
Probably not a bunch of those guys, right? Not a lot of Japanese.
Got so offended at what this did to the honor of Japan that he got in an airplane and flew it into Kodama's house to kill him. Jesus. And Kodama survived, and the porn actor died in a fucking kamikaze run on the guy's house. That's in 1976. So that was the closest.
You think I'm going to Pearl Harbor this guy?
Yeah. You've crossed a line when a porn star wants to fucking Pearl Harbor you.
Oh my God.
In your own house. And from the stories I read about this guy, everyone to this day says no one can quite estimate the impact he had on Japanese culture, because he owned so many politicians and he controlled so many business deals that modern day Japan is largely framed in his philosophy,
which
is the way the world,
which is why he was not into the labor board. What the hell am I talking about?
The unions,
yeah. Because he probably ran a bunch of corporations,
right,
that was going to cost him a bunch of money.
Yeah. So. And he was he was the pinnacle, from what I read, of crazy fucking Yakuza shit.
And they have strict conduct, codes of conduct against drugs, though. Like, they're like, oh, let's kill all these guys and rough up and break the unions, but nothing to do with drugs. Like, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
It's weird to have those conflicting, people.
That's one family, though.
But I'm not going to sell
they won't
cocaine.
Take drugs, yeah. Or they won't sell drugs?
They won't deal in drugs.
They won't deal in drugs. I think that Yamagumi or whatever, the main one.
Yamaguchi-gumi, yeah. They won't deal in drugs. But there's other families who deal just in drugs, which is why they're in Hawaii and California.
And Korea. And that was one thing that I found interesting, is that everything that you read is most families operate this way, but there's obviously, there's gonna be, if you have all these illegal families, some family is gonna control drugs.
Yeah.
Even though most of them don't.
Well, you have one that controls methamphetamines. You have one that controls sex trafficking.
Right.
Yeah, from the Philippines and wherever else, probably they can get women, Russia and anywhere else.
Right.
But they each have their niche. And they each have what they want to get into. Just like the Yamaguchi, they were into business. They were into politics.
Right.
So.
Yeah, and they're still.
They caused all kinds of real estate havoc just by, they would force people to sell like small strategic properties that would open up giant real estate transactions. They cause all kinds of crazy fluctuations in the economy. You would think that, I don't know, it's just weird for a gang to be able to do that by strategically like pressuring, like, oh, this little old man has to sell his house so we can build this giant resort. Like, there's little factors like that that come into play that make such a big difference.
And I read, like, because once I started seeing Yamaguchi Gumi come up a lot, I was like, okay, let me find out some shit about these guys. In 2014, their estimated revenues were $80 billion.
Jesus.
That's fucking ridiculous. I read an estimate that said the entire Italian mafia the same year made $69 billion, and this one Yakuza family made $80 billion.
Like, so if you combine Yakuza, like, it's probably insane.
Oh, yeah. I can't even really throw the other families in. Yeah, yeah, it's fucking ridiculous. But and I guess recently there was a splinter faction that peeled off from Yamaguchi Gumi, and they were worried that there was going to be like a civil war that broke out throughout Japan. So they ended up making a bunch of new laws, and they started to aggressively pursue people. And in 2015, they arrested just that year alone, they arrested 976 Yakuza members from Yamaguchi Gumi just trying to crack down.
Yeah.
Which was a fucking drop in the bucket, because they estimated that gang alone is between 25. I've read between 25,000 and 40,000 members.
I'm reading 55,000 members. Okay. Yeah, but just who knows the timeline? Yeah,
exactly. So just in that family.
Well, they're so big that places like China and Korea, who don't know the name Yakuza, know Yamaguchi Gumi.
Right.
Like
The police and media won't refer to them as the Yakuza. Like, they call them something else publicly.
Yamaguchi Gumi.
They call them Boryu Kaiden, which is an insult, apparently. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's what they call them.
Yeah. It means big dick Japanese.
Yeah, it does. That's exactly what it means. Big dick Japanese.
Yes.
Roughly translated.
Roughly translated.
That's very, very rough.
It might be backwards.
It means large tentacle from the island.
Large tentacle Jap.
Large tentacle from the island, but
single slant eye.
Oh no. So one of the things is in almost all Yakuza families, women are very much looked down upon. They don't have any status. They're never allowed into anything. But even Yamaguchi Gumi was different in that, because one of the leaders, a guy named Kazuo Teoka, was the leader of that clan, and he died in the 1980s of a heart attack, and his wife Fumiko Teoka took over the clan for years and helped make it.
She's probably a bad bitch.
Oh,
though.
She had to be a badass bitch.
Yeah,
like she just fucking took over, like, in a culture where women are not respected, and especially in the Yakuza culture where they're extra, you know, and she just steps up and she's like, fuck all y'all, I'm running it. And she ran it for years.
She ran across the table like Lucy Liu and just chopped
everybody's heads off.
Damn, that scene's badass. Yeah. That chick is crazy.
What's that from?
Kill Bill.
So you never seen Kill Bill?
Lucy Liu tries to take control like that, basically say, like, Lucy I'm Liu. The boss. Badass fucking Asian chick, hot from Kill Bill. You know who Lucy Liu is.
I never seen Kill Bill. How do I know who she is?
She's in other movies.
Come on, Lucy Liu. She was in Kill Bill.
She's in all the...
I never seen Kill Bill.
Charlie's Angels.
No, the girl in Kill Bill.
What's Charlie's Angels?
It's a sequel to Kill Bill.
Well, anyway, some dude talks some shit that he won't listen to a woman, and she just, like, jumps up on the table, walks a million miles an hour, pulls out a sword, and chops that dude's head off.
Was she in the Crazy Eights or no?
I don't know what that is.
Never seen Kill Bill?
It's a Crazy Eight.
That's the gang.
That's the gang.
That Lucy Liu's character controls in Kill Bill.
Oh, that is. Yeah, yeah. Charlie Brown. That's all I remember.
Yeah, you kind of flipped that around on it.
Oh, yeah, that was really good. That was good. But there's a guy named...
You know why I didn't know what Crazy Eights is? Because we got the fucking Magnificent Seven, the Ridiculous Six, right, fucking... There's all those... The fucking...
I just think that went so perfect.
Yeah, that was
crazy
great.
Aids? What's the Crazy Eights? You never seen Kill Bill?
The last 2 months has just been a fucking conglomerate of, like, the something... Descriptive term followed by a number movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of
both good and bad, yeah.
So the Yamaguchi Gumi were so big... Or are so big that in 2009, law enforcement discovered that the Yamaguchi Gumi had a 12-page exam that potential members had to pass before they could join the gang.
Probably legit too.
At least you could do it, Brent, because it wasn't 60 pages.
That's true. It said that it was it was trying to keep members from getting into trouble once everything started to get clamped down, because the entire test was questions about laws.
Oh,
so
wow.
It was like, is it legal to do this? Is it illegal to do that? What? How many of these can you sell before it becomes a felony? Like all this fucking shit. And you had to study and you had to pass this exam before you could become a member of the gang, because they didn't want fucking dumbasses.
Well, if there's a test, there must be a study guide. That's probably more than 60 pages. Though,
that's true. And they probably made a killing on that study guide. They just fucking...
Yamaguchi Gumi.org and you can download the study guide.
Download it.
Man, a mountain of words you have.
But I was going to say Yamaguchi gummies. Fucking,
those are tasty.
Those are different. Those are Japanese candies.
But the main guy who runs currently Yamaguchi Gumi is a guy named Kenichi Shinoda. And everything I read about this guy, he took over the family in 2005, and he's considered to be one of the wealthiest gangsters on earth. Like he's, and you see pictures of him, he looks fucking crazy. He looks like he's being played by Johnny Depp.
I know.
He's like fucking got crazy coats and weird hat. Like, cause you normally
like pirate Johnny Depp.
No, like just regular everyday Johnny Depp. Oh.
Like Mad Hatter Johnny Depp.
I think it just stood out because doing the research, I just saw all these photos of Yakuza people. And for the most part, you see them in two modes. You either see them in a business suit, just like stone face, period.
Yeah.
Or you see them in their funky, like I'm at a bathhouse, like white diapers showing off all their tattoos. Mm-hmm. Like those are the two modes you tend to see them in. And all of a sudden you see this guy dressed all fucking flamboyant and crazy. And it just really stood out
Tattoos.
Does he have an eye patch?
No.
That's not him then.
They have to hide all their tattoos, and it takes like years and tons of money and effort to finish. Some of the ink is toxic.
Yeah, you said some of the shit. Like, tell me, you said you saw a bunch of shit on the tattoos.
Well, some of the ink is toxic, so they can only have like certain colors in certain quantities before they become nauseous and get a fever. Fuck. And then they have to quit. And it's all done the old traditional way with like bamboo.
The bone.
They sit there and like tap it. I didn't see bone anywhere. It was just steel pins and it was
maybe,
bamboo.
Yeah. Like a rake now. Yeah.
And they just sit there and hammer it. But like some of the ink is toxic and it just takes forever to do it. So the only way they get to show it off is like to other members. So when they get together and play cards, they just like do it in a G-string. Like they literally just take off their clothes and sit there and play cards to show like clout, like whoever's got the most ink.
Right.
And it made me want to get a tattoo.
No, their tattoos are fucking legit.
Yeah. Well, like their suits. Their entire bodies are.
They leave the center open so they can wear a kimono and it doesn't look like they're tattooed still.
Oh, I wondered why.
Because
you always see there's like a stripe in the middle.
Someone said something. I don't know if there's anything medically like to support this, but someone said you had to leave a patch of skin open because it was bad for your liver or something. But that could be some Chinese medicine weirdness going on. I don't know if the ink actually inhibits like the transmission of like
something. No, it's just barely in the dermis.
It doesn't
actually change anything. Yeah, no. That was on a documentary.
Yeah, because they don't like their necks, their faces, their hands, their feet. None of that will get any tattoos.
They tattoo their genitalia.
Yeah. But they leave the strip on their butt cheeks.
Yeah.
There's nothing there. Right on the G-string spot.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
But they can only show it off to each other. And apparently from what I looked at, and the tattoos are fucking badass. And it's usually like classical images from Japanese mythology. And it usually tells like a story. If they killed some guy in a certain way that was like a bear, then they have like a bear.
And a lot of times the artist just dictates that it's a canvas. They let the artist do what they want.
Yeah. And there's certain symbols that every different family will use. So you'll always see this particular thing associated with that particular family. And then you'll see, like when you see the photos of like you'll see whole clans standing there together and their G-strings hanging out, and usually like the oldest cats are just covered in tattoo and the younger guys don't have quite as many because I think you have
G-strings,
to earn them.
It's not like Borat, it's like sumo diaper.
No, it's like sumo diaper. It's
kind of
weird.
Yeah. It's like a rolled up fancy napkin from the restaurant.
Two pairs of Hanes. get all rolled up.
Rolling them in together. But apparently they also used to do like there's a big culture of bathhouses in Japan, and they'll always apparently they would, if multiple families were meeting, they would do it at a bathhouse. So A, you could show off your tattoos to prove you're with this family or that family, and B, you don't have a weapon hidden.
For years, the tattoos were actually outlawed because of the Yakuza, something to do with after World War II, because soldiers were getting tattoos or something was common, something to do with like America passing some law for Japanese citizens to allow it, let the tattoos tattoo thing happened. It was, there was some time where you couldn't go out in public. You couldn't go swimming. You couldn't go to the beach. You couldn't let anyone see your tattoos.
Oh,
and that's why they did it the way they did it, to the sleeves and to suit it up.
So
like
they could
that.
Still hide it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it wasn't socially acceptable. Like I watched a thing with a tattoo artist who still frowns upon the fact that it's culturally cool for people to have tattoos and piercings showing now publicly, because it really takes away
from the
tattoo thing.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So did you guys see the thing about the prosthetics makers came out of this?
For their fingers?
Yeah. Yeah, because in the Yakuza, if they're like apologizing or like something bad happens and then they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, they cut off their fucking fingers.
For your first offense. Yeah. Yeah. Cut the tip of your left pinky.
It's called the Yabazume, which means the finger shortening. And the thing, like, again, it's part of this weird hierarchy. If you offend the person who is immediately above you, then you... Like the tradition will hold that you will simply you'll be delivered a knife and a white napkin.
You know what it's for.
And you know what it's for. You have to cut off the tip. You have to cut off a joint of your pinky, wrap it up in the napkin.
The first joint.
Give it to him. The first joint.
You know,
but then as you
from?
Fuck up more, yeah. Yeah. Break it down.
It's because back in the day, like the way that a samurai sword gets held, it was so that your grip on your sword would become weaker and you would have to, you'd be less powerful by yourself. So individualism would fade away.
Yeah.
Like basically that's a representation of it, so that you would have to depend on the group.
Yeah.
It's like, we need teamwork. Cut off your fingers. Like, right. That'll make you work.
Because
like
now you have to rely on the clan because you're not good enough
to
do it on
your... You can't hold the sword correctly anymore.
Did you do the thing where they didn't want them to have balance either, so they have to cut off their big toe?
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so they really have to rely, like when they fight, they lean on each
that
other.
Part up.
Maybe.
Bullshit. Got it. Gotcha.
But no, there's so they cut off your pinky or your ring finger, because those are the two that control the sword the most.
Right.
And then, and I read in a 1993 government survey, they found that 45% of Yakuza members had severed digits. So it's not like this is some rare thing. Like you
because
fuck up.
At some
and
point,
that's
it was also the initiation. There was like an entrance thing where people, as they became members, cut their fingers. But it also is a form of an apology. And you can also spare someone in your crew further retaliation if you're the leader of your crew to offer
your
digit to save this guy.
Well, and it's like, it's like too, they take it at the first knuckle, but then if it happens again, they go to the second knuckle.
Right. Or they go to the first digit
the
of your ring.
Finger. Yeah. Like, one yeah. So like, it's like multiple, like you can have like, you fuck up a lot and you're like, your fingers are down.
Yep.
Like you're like, how many? Three.
It's coming back.
Yeah.
So, but no, there was a doctor named Dr. Yukaku Fukushima, and she makes prosthetic pinkies for ex-Yakuza. And they cost $1,500 to get one. But she said that since they're legit. They look fucking like super realistic. But she said that she often gives discounts because a lot of the people who come to her are completely broke because they have no way to earn money because they're ex-Yakuza.
Right.
And since their finger is cut off, everyone knows they're in the Yakuza. So no one will give them a job. So she said a lot of times she's just doing the work for free to help people to rehabilitate themselves and to get back into mainstream culture. Because it tends to be,
right,
if you're still in the Yakuza, you don't give a shit about the fact that your finger is cut
off. You want
it
to. Yeah,
right.
It's like a pride thing.
Yeah, so it tends to be ex-members who are trying to go on the straight and narrow. And even like there was one guy that they interviewed in this article, and he had... she's so good. They look so fucking super realistic.
They're legit.
Like she made one for this guy in the winter because he was an outdoor laborer. So she had to make one in the winter when his skin would get more pale because there wasn't as much sun out. And then one for the summer when he would start to get tanned and sunburned and he would have to wear different fingers for different seasons so that it matched his skin color.
I wonder if like right when they cut it off, they just put it on ice or like, here's what it looks like. I need to need that back because I got to give it to the guy. Like right when you cut it off, you give it to her, let her look at it, check
no,
it out.
It's, they
and then you gotta give it.
No, they're legit.
I was looking at
too.
The prosthetic stuff, but I just ran across the Yakuza's largest group just canceled Halloween. So this is from last year. The Yamaguchi Gumi, the gummies, they canceled Halloween last year. Little boys and girls everywhere.
Damn.
Yeah. Motherfuckers don't play around.
That's legit. They're going to cancel Christmas next year. It's going to be fucking Yakuza versus Santa Claus.
That's crazy that they cancel Halloween though, because they're actually in charge of the gummy panda bears in Japan and they're going to lose a bunch of sales.
That's true.
Yeah.
They don't care.
Well, they just make the people buy them. You just can't hand them out.
They're just shorter and fatter. Like they look like our gummy bears, but just whiter. That Kung Fu Panda is made of gummy.
You lost.
I said they canceled it for various reasons, and they apologized to everybody who was looking forward to the event.
No, sorry about that.
Well, that was nice of them. What the fuck? That's very strange.
They said they promised that Halloween would definitely be back on next year's card.
Oh, well, that's good of them. Yeah. But no, so the thing that we've talked about but haven't really looked at a lot is the importance of the hierarchy within the group, because they have this whole thing. They call it the Oyabun Kobun relationship. So there's like a master or a father, which is the Oyabun. And I know I'm butchering it. I don't speak Japanese. And then
give you credit.
There was the Kobun, which is the son. So the way the hierarchy works is I read two different terms. One of them was that there's a guy called a Kumicho who is the boss at the top. But then I kept also reading the term, I guess it was Oyabun that I kept seeing. But the Kumicho is the top boss of the entire clan. And everything he says is law, and that's what goes, etc. But the whole structure is that there's a father-son relationship of every single person in the family. So when you join, it's basically in return for absolute loyalty, you get guidance and protection from the person above you. So you do everything they say without question, and you don't fuck up or you lose a pinky. And then in return, I've got your back. I protect you. I make sure nobody comes after you. And that's how the whole thing works. So you have a person below you who swears loyalty to you, and you have a person above you who you've sworn loyalty
to. Sounds like a pyramid scheme.
It is a pyramid scheme. Yeah. It goes all the way up to the Kumicho at the top, who has a handful of people who have sworn loyalty to him, but then each of them have a handful under them, et cetera, all the way down. And there's a ceremony.
The guy at the top has so many pinky fingers.
He's got a bucket full of pinky them. Like he's like Scrooge McDuck diving through a money bin.
What do they do with the pinky when you give it to him? They're like, thanks, and then they just throw it away.
They eat it.
You think they put them in jars or something?
He's no, like, they eat it. It's like sushi.
Mm. Spit the bone out right in your face.
Yeah.
That's a legit question. Where do all the pinkies go? I want to know, but go ahead.
They eat them.
I would guess the trash.
That's what I think. Like,
that would be my, they got to keep them in the box. That would be my,
yeah.
You got to have a necklace.
I guess you got to keep them.
You got to have a necklace. You got to keep them in the box.
You got to keep them.
It's like a war medal.
Yeah, you got to keep them. How many can you, how many do you have? Yeah. But they have this father-son ceremony. Like, it's very official. Like, when you join, you can only join if you swear a loyalty to a person above you. So they have to vouch for you, and then you swear to them. And then as they move up, you move up under them. So it's in your best interest to get them promoted.
Still a pyramid scheme.
Because that's what gets you promoted. Oh, it's a complete pyramid scheme.
Let's just say they feed the pinkies to snakes, because that works.
You're really worried about these pinkies.
Well, when you feed baby mice to snakes, they're called pinkies, for one.
I have an issue, too. I have a weird thing. The head honcho, you know, that comes from Japan, right?
Head honcho Comancho?
No.
Hector?
No, it's Japanese. The head honcho is from Japan.
I meant Hector-san is what I meant.
Hector-san, okay. Yeah, but I always thought it's weird, and it always sticks in my head, and I know it comes from, I know it comes from Japan, but I always question it. Like, it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound Japanese to me.
If it was like honcho, we just have to
We're
say
probably
honcho.
Just saying like Okies is wrong.
Yeah, that head probably. Honcho.
Yeah. The old head honcho.
So they have this father-son ceremony where a third person pours a glass of sake for the new members and for the Oyabon, the boss. And then the boss gets to drink as much sake as he wants to drink.
They stir the drinks with the pinkies.
Oh, there you go. They put it next to an olive on a toothpick.
A garnish.
Little umbrella.
You stab an umbrella on the top of the pinky.
Whoosh it around.
Oh, ooh, this pinky's fresh.
But yeah, the initiate can only sip a little bit of sake, but the boss gets to drink as much as he wants to. Mm-hmm. And then that's like a third member of another member of the clan has to perform the ceremony, pour the sake. So you have a sponsor who's vouching for you.
Who's probably pouring the stuff.
He doesn't pour it. His associate, someone else who's vouching for you, who swears you in on the ceremony, and then that's part of it. So then it's this very strict thing. So it's not like if you fuck up, you go to the head of the clan and cut your pinky off. No, you don't get anywhere near that guy. You're cutting your pinky off for the guy right above you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's a direct fucking, you probably never even, I mean, come on. If there's like 20 to fucking 40,000 members of the Yamaguchi Gumi, you're not getting anywhere near the boss.
Yeah.
I mean, you're never going to fucking meet
unless
that
you're
guy.
A photographer.
Yeah. Unless you're a photographer. Did you read about that guy?
I finally saw that 6 minute thing. Yeah.
So there's a thing, I highly recommend watching it. There's a YouTube video on a guy named, Anton Custers, Kusters. And he's a Belgian photographer who spent 10 months negotiating with one particular Yakuza family to get permission to go in and take photographs. And he's like an artistic photographer who wanted to do a photo spread for lunch, you know, for a, like a, an art gallery in London. And after 10 months, he finally got invited to visit with the family, and he shows up and the head of the entire family is right there. And he said that he just walked in, the head of the family looked him in the eyes, nodded once, and that was the end of their meeting. And it was like, you can take pictures of us.
I thought he gave him a proposal.
No, it's like, it says a proposal. He spent 2 years inside the family.
Once he got in there, he spent 2 years with the family. Well, no, I think he had to write a proposal to all this stuff, but then, and he negotiated with some guy for 10 months.
He just gave him the nod.
But then once he finally got the meeting with that guy, the guy just nodded at him.
How amazing in such a world of a gauntlet of like traditions and rules and like etiquette, like, how do you even begin? Like, you go and you show up and you're like, well, I'm
fucking
here.
Idea, dude.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to get some sushi and I need to get to finding this crime syndicate boss. I want to, yes. You know what I mean? Like, how do you even get started? Like, taxi, excuse me. Could someone point me towards
the
bad guys?
I have no fucking idea, dude.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
You're at tattoo parlors. You're like, yeah, I just want to get my mom's name right here. By the way, could you point me towards the boss quotes?
Yeah. But so he spends 10 months lobbying, and then it ends up there's a family called the Kabuicho, which is the name of the family, and they run Tokyo's all of the prostitution in Tokyo.
That's a taco place in Cabo, just so you know. It's called, we have a place called Tacoicho in town. Yeah. That's Kabuicho.
Yeah. But they dealt with money laundering, gambling, bribery, and drug trafficking, but their primary money was they control prostitution in Tokyo. And this guy gets so close to the family that even after he left and he was working on the photographs and developing them and getting ready to do his, you know, his display in London, right, et cetera, he got called back by the family because someone he got close to in those 2 years died, like one of the really high ranking members. And it was his request that this photographer come to the ceremony and take a picture of him in his coffin, which is like a complete, you don't fucking do that.
Yeah.
But this guy flat out said, send Anton Custers back, have him take photos at the ceremony and a picture of my dead body.
They should
make
a movie of
this. Like totally fucking in it. But check him out. Anton Custers, like his website just has fucking crazy
cool
pictures.
What nationality
is
that guy?
He's Belgian.
Hmm.
Yeah. But just there's a cool little short, like 7 minute video of him, and he's just talking over the photographs that pop up. I'm sure that's probably what
you watch. Yeah, that's what I saw.
And then he's got a website that's got really cool stuff. But like he photographs like some really fucking crazy shit. Them in bathhouses, their tattoos, like their fingers fucking chopped off. Like, I mean, it's pretty fucking legit, but he's definitely someone who's worth looking into.
Yeah, he did it with a candlestick in the library.
What? That's how he killed him?
Yeah.
It's a candlestick holder. You can't kill someone with a candlestick. It's the holder because it's made of silver.
Fucking Vlad Tepes could.
Yeah.
You just go in your butt. You
are you challenging me?
You just moan.
Well, no, what he'd do is he'd stick it about like a quarter of the way in, and he'd light it, and he'd let it melt.
You'd be upside down? Yeah. He'd hang you upside down, let the candle melt into your bunghole?
Yeah. I still don't know if that would kill you.
No.
It wouldn't kill you. I want to see pain.
It would just be unpleasant.
I've had my butthole burn.
Story.
Oh, I've had hot wax in my ass. Don't. And here I am.
I fucked like three dudes. I mean, as long as we're being honest. I mean, we have this thing in our group. We can't lie to each other.
This sounds like a trap. I'm not talking.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was... It is not what I expected when I looked into the...
I mean, the Kill Bill aspect was there. I just was really impressed with, like, the business.
Absolutely. Sense
they're more it. Intimidation. Like, I think it's intimidation by numbers, and they will kill you.
They'll kill a motherfucker. Like, don't get me wrong.
I mean, like I said, it probably depends on the group you're fucking with. Like, you're fucking with the sex traffickers, they'll probably fucking kill you. They're right. probably down and dirty. You're fucking with the meth dudes.
If you make a podcast and you say a bunch of crazy ass shit in the beginning in an accent, you probably shouldn't.
They're going to kill you.
Yeah.
No, but there, I mean, one thing that was interesting is that like a lot of the people, even that photographer said that he was going into it kind of like I was when I started the research, like looking at it as, oh, it's going to be Kill Bill, crazy violence. Yeah. Fucking, you know, I'm picturing like Chicago in 1920, you know, with them just fucking flat out murdering each other and all that shit, but it doesn't really go down that way. And I think, you know, and even like, I think of the American Mafia, and it's like they would run their protection rackets and they would have to beat the shit out of people and threaten their life and all that stuff. But from everything
Japanese
I read,
culture is different though.
It's so different. Like all they have to do is put a little bit of social pressure on you and you're just like going to bow down
as
and
respect,
give in as a respect thing. So they don't need to rough people up and fuck shit up as much as the Italian mob does in America, because they've already got this culture of submission and this culture of prudence and all this stuff. So
I wonder if it's just not written about because people are scared, or they own everything,
or they fucking own everything. Yeah. I mean, if that lead guy was so powerful and had such an influence on the country, it might just be that people don't fucking write about it and don't investigate it.
What I didn't know was how racist Japanese people are against Koreans.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't hate Koreans.
I had no idea.
Who
no
doesn't idea. Hate Koreans?
I wish you
I like their beef.
The
their beef
panic look on Brent's face when Brad said that.
I was counting my Korean friends, and then it didn't get that high, and I was like,
I got John Kun, Yang Nang.
I was like, one, I think two.
Zero. Yep. Definitely zero.
I was like, I'm in the clear.
Fuck it. They're little anyway.
We did.
What are you going to do?
We do have
like
a fan.
The size of pygmies.
We do. Like we have a fan from pygmies. Seoul, Korea. Yeah.
You've crossed a line, sir.
They're like
talking about pygmies.
You're like light skinned Gary Coleman's running around.
I knew we'd get him in here.
Skinned. No, someone from Seoul, Korea hit me up the other morning that's a fan of the show. Yeah. But I think they're like white and on a military base or something. I don't know that they're really
makes
Korean.
Sense.
And I do want to point out several episodes ago, we talked about tears of whiteness.
Mm hmm.
And I do want to say the fact that
tears
of whiteness, no, the different levels of whiteness.
There he goes again.
And the fact that Brad just said light skinned and you questioned it, like that's what you say.
Yeah.
You say you're light skinned. Like that's the term.
Yeah.
If you're a fourth tier white person.
Yeah.
Or if you're black. I was curious when we talked about it, you said that I was a fourth tier white person. I'm not going to argue with that, but I'm also, so am I also a fourth tier black person?
No, you're, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like the scale
no,
goes,
like
the scale
first,
is opposite.
Wouldn't it make him first tier black person?
No.
No, first tier like black that. Person is like.
First tier is like you fucking, are black.
Yeah. It's like
you're black. It's black.
Like Shaft.
So it's like a reverse. It's like a reverse effect. So like
yeah.
Tier one white.
You're the top
is
of
the top of the white.
Yeah.
You are cream corn white.
Yeah.
And then tier one black is the other opposite
fucking
spectrum. It's
Shaft.
Like a butterfly.
I'm confused. So he's fourth tier in both?
We're in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's black, but he's fourth tier. He's fourth tier white.
And I'm fourth tier black.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Because
shouldn't
he's
it be the
black.
Opposite?
No.
No. There is no middle line. So you have to.
This is why I don't understand. You're going to have to write this down. I need a chart.
There's any way that you think I'm as black as Shaft.
No, but if it's opposite.
Then I'm fourth tier. No, it's the same tier structure.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm white. I can't be fourth tier black because I'm not black.
Right.
So I never make it into the black. He's in the black.
But I'm fourth tier.
But he's fourth tier white. Yeah. So it's like fourth tier black.
Because I'm high yellow.
Because I'll never quite make it into the white.
Yeah. He can't get into the white.
Because I'm high yellow and light skinned.
Yeah. And red hair.
I see. You guys are the opposite representing your
exactly.
races.
Exactly.
Ah.
Right.
I'm as
how
close.
Am I fucking. Because I own a business. I'm poor as fuck.
Look at you.
What do you mean?
That's all I gotta say. I don't have any other argument.
That was a disgust.
So
look at you.
What's Barack Obama?
Second tier. Second tier.
You guys said that shit like it was definitive. So so what is like, what's Matthew McConaughey since we talk about that? What's Matt Damon?
First tier, I'd say.
Matt Damon's
first
all
tier.
The way.
100%. McConaughey's Southern, I'd say you could say like tier two.
Yeah, I'd probably say tier two.
So you're trying to say that I am first tier like Matt Damon?
Yes.
Yeah.
How the fuck does that work?
Look at you.
Economics doesn't come into it? What do you mean?
No. Economics doesn't come into it.
No, it has nothing to do with
money.
It's
not money.
No, it's not money.
No.
Go ahead. Just finish this out. I want to understand before this is
I mean, that'd
done.
Be like Reverend Jesse Jackson, right?
Yes.
He's got money.
Yeah. Right.
But it doesn't make him any less black.
No, he's one. He's first.
Well, you keep saying, look at me. Yeah. What exactly do you mean by that, sir? Am I a clown? I'm here to amuse you?
You're a pink skin with a Viking beard.
Okay.
And the way you act. When he says look at you, it's not your physical appearance. It's look at the way you act.
No, I just mean your physical
appearance. I don't play golf and shit, though. It's not like I'm all, hey, guys, want to go play golf? I'm going to go over there. I had oatmeal for breakfast. Like, I'm not like the fucking white guy.
Yeah, you are.
You think so?
Just because you don't play golf doesn't make you not white.
I just don't think I'm first here.
Like, I play video games. I'm not Asian. I don't play video games, though.
Man, I love it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, you do say that.
Yeah, you're first here.
All right, whatever.
Yeah. Then we're all.
If anybody disagrees, if you know the tier.
Does this thing is this a Brad media? Thing or is this thing this exists in the no, world? Other I, people go off the scale.
It exists in the world now.
We've birthed Dave it. Jumped on the train because he understood it.
He yeah. got it though. Like he called out, I said celebrity fucking boom.
Yeah. He understands it.
Yeah.
You don't understand it because you're first tier. First tier will never understand it.
Yeah.
I have another friend that's fourth tier white also. He's black, but his grandparents are white. He's half, but he's fourth tier white.
What tier black is he?
Fourth tier.
Oh, okay.
That's just always how that works.
No, apparently. Not at all.
Not necessarily.
No.
I'm confused.
I mean, you could be fourth tier white and second tier black.
Good.
In fact, I think that's probably what Barack Obama is. No, I think he's probably second tier white and second tier black.
I'm confused as fuck about that, how that works. All right. It sounds like it's sponsor time.
It is sponsor time.
All right. Where are we at here? All right. Thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. If you can't find the hot sauce, you're not looking because it's everywhere, unless you're in Brazil for some reason that we can't talk about. But yeah, so go to Walmart, Target.
Jesus Christ.
I made that up. It's a conspiracy. Yeah, I'm just starting shit. You can log onto their website and buy hot sauce. You can go to Walmart, Target, the grocery store. The Mexican market makes you feel cooler because you're ethnic. So go try to do it there. I think Digital Creations should make a bunch of coffee mugs and travel mugs that are going to go up on the merch site on the site that doesn't exist.
Right.
Because it's a conspiracy. Go to Suffolking Podcast. Part of the trick.
Go to www.com/shop.
Or just message me through Messenger and I'll ghetto do it over the phone and sell you some shit.
Right.
Thank you to
Brent. No, he'll white person do it over the phone because he has a credit card machine and a business.
That I do. True. I do That's have my true. Own credit card machine.
There's no ghetto involved.
Yeah.
It involves a business and he pays fees.
Yeah, if you'd like to call me, I can use my merchant services account.
There you go.
Through Bank of America.
Quit trying to down yourself a tier, Brent.
It batches it's not out. Work. Yeah, it batches out at 10 p.m. I get the deposits the next day in my account. So just give me a call.
They take a nominal 2.75% off each purchase.
That's pretty accurate. Thanks to printdirtcheap.com. We actually got some stickers finalized, so those should be here soon. If you've been bugging me for stickers, keep
Which
on bugging me. But
do I know you want to do other ones?
In 2 weeks or so, though, probably. Thank you to Dan Camarillo. And did I say Dark Side Graphics?
No, I don't know. Say it again.
I don't know. Thanks to Dark Side Graphics for t-shirts. We do have new t-shirts.
Thanks for nothing.
To who? Dan Camarillo?
Dark Side Graphics?
Oh, I thought you were going to start just talking shit on Dan Camarillo again.
Well, there's nothing there. I haven't been going, so... That's my own fault.
Dan, yeah, you have not been going. He
I'll still go
you.
There and whoop everybody's ass.
Probably. You'll do the whoopee cushion on me. It's quite a
No, meeting. Actually, I'll probably get beat up. So, anyway.
So, anyways, thanks to Dan Camarillo. Log on to armhunter.com for booty shorts, geese, and instructional videos. Is there a real word other than booty shorts? Probably.
What?
Those little shorts?
Hot pants.
Hot pants. No matter what, it's something like that.
You still
hot
think pants. You can do pants?
Oh, Dan?
Yeah.
To the movies.
No, that's not what you said
that's
earlier.
That's not what you said right
to
before
dinner.
The show.
No. You,
out
right
for
before the show, you were talking about dragging him around by his hair and mopping the mats with him because they were a little dirty.
If he lets me.
No, anyway, that's not I'm what just, you said. No, this is
fine. I did. I said I whoop his ass.
Bullshit.
I will whoop his ass. And by whoop his ass, I mean spank him on the ass, say good game, and run like a motherfucker. But apparently, you can't even do that because he caught that guy.
He'll foot sweep you and hold you down.
If you're not local, and we didn't tell that story.
No, we did.
No, he did on. We did
do
on
we? Yeah.
He, listen to the Camarillo episode.
Yeah,
jiu-jitsu.
He foot swept a motherfucker that was trying to get away from a high speed chase.
It was after that.
Was it?
That happened later.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. There's new people. I'll say.
No, quick. We said it.
There was a high speed chase through Bakersfield, and that motherfucker rolled his car next to Camarillo Jiu-Jitsu, which is the wrong place. And Dan Camarillo, in a gi, barefoot, fucking ran the guy down and foot swept him and fucking took him down, held him till the cops came and got the guy. Yeah. That's fucking amazing. Yeah. So I will not be dragging him by his fucking hair in any way.
That's just what you said.
Yeah. He changed your story. I'm upset about it. Anyway.
That's that.
I won't say what you said about Jason Ackerman.
He really actually fucking me up lately. I'm not rolling with you anymore, Jason. I didn't listen, but I can't tap quick enough, apparently.
We love you.
Yep.
All right. Don't be a retard.
Tiger style.
Tiger style. Yo. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. There's no place to hide as I step inside the room. Dr. Doom, prepare for the boom. Bam! Oh man, I slam. Damn, I scream like Tarzan. I be tossing and forcing, my style is awesome. I'm causing more family food than Richard Dawson. And the survey said, you're dead. Baby flying guillotine chops off your fucking head. Mister, who is that?
Hey yo,
the Wu is back, making niggas go bobo. Like on Super Jack, me fear no one. Oh no, here come the Wu-Tang Shogun. Kill her to the eardrum.
With the needle to the groove, I gets rude and I'm forced to fuck it up. My staff carries like a pickup truck. Cross the clear blue yonder. See, the China Sea, I slam tracks like quarterback sacks from LT. Now I try and test the rebel lioness. Bless since the birth, I earth slam your best. Cause I bake the cake, then take the cake and eat it too with my crew while we head state to state.
And if you want beef, then bring the ruckus. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. From the motherfucking something busted. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to fuck with. Fuck with. Nothing on. Step up, boy. Represent. Chop his head off, dead.
The Mapo commands. Tomorrow, now, get busy with all the sorrow. Flow, with more afro than Rollo. Coming to a fork in the road, which way to go? Just follow. Method the legend, niggas in Sleepy Hollow. In fact, I'm a hard act to follow. I dope for Dolo, Bogart coming on through. Niggas is like, oh my god, not you. Yes, I come to get a slice of the punk in the pot. Rather do than die, check my flavor. Coming from the visit with the show for the razor. Who make me reminisce true like nature? Who? I'm rubber, niggas, it's like glue. Whatever you say, bro, so I'm mistakes.
Chopping heads.